Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Mem Ches Omud Aleph. And we are in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah and dealing with Simen Shin Chaf Aleph with various halachos of salting and we'll see today grinding as well. And we had read Siv Hei in the Mechaber yesterday, but we just read it quickly, did not do the Mishnah Berurah on it, and that's what we'll do today. So we'll read Siv Hei again, which starts on Kuf Mem Zayin Omud Beis. The Mechaber says, one is not permitted to salt on Shabbos cooked meat, or beitza mevushelas, or cooked eggs, if the purpose is lahanicha, for not right now. If the purpose is, we'll see, either for another meal on Shabbos according to some, or for after Shabbos according to others. That is forbidden. The Mishnah Berurah explains. A long Mishnah Berurah over here, Sif Katan Chafalaf. That which we learned earlier, 2 days ago, that one is permitted to go and salt eggs on Shabbos. So where we said over there was Hainu Litzorech Osasuda. That was for that meal. Avo Limlo Chabos Rebetzo. But to take cooked meat or cooked eggs and salt them Kedei Laniach Liachazman for the purposes of having them preserved for later usage. Domi Liibud Ukvisha. This is too similar to tanning and to pickling and is forbidden. V'hinei Dasa Mogen of Ram Taz. The Mogen of Ram Taz both hold Dafilu Daito Lecho Biyomo, even for a different meal. If it's for later in the day for a different meal, they say one should be cautious about this and shouldn't do it. And that's when the two meals are separated by a significant amount of time. But if you're having two close meals, that might be permissible. That's the more machmer opinion of the Taz and the Mogen of Ram. However, Avol Ha'el Yerabba Mitzadei De'en Lesor Rak Im Bedaito Lihaniach Liachas Shabbos. The El Yerabba says it's not forbidden if you're salting it for one meal for use on another meal on Shabbos. It's only forbidden if it's for after Shabbos. And this is also the opinion of Chayin Mashma Bebir Agra. You can see this as well in the Vilna Gaon, or Bifrat, and especially he says this is true in Mo'es Cham, if the meat is hot right now, and the reason he's salting it, if the meat shouldn't spoil. In this situation, then you can even be mako for any other meal on Shabbos. Even the Taz would agree in this situation. The Gama Taz Matir Bezeh. Even the Taz permits this. The Shaar Tzion tells us to go look in Os Chof in the Bir Halacha. And the Bir Halacha, Dira Maskel Osir, explains the Vilna Gaon Shita a little bit. And he says that the Gaon brings down in the name of Tosos, Shemolchon Luzman Rav, Ba'ofezeh Motzi Shemoleach Harbeh. When you do it for a long period of time, it implies that you're going to do a lot of it. However, avolo misuda lesuda, but not from one meal to another meal, and therefore on Shabbos from one meal to another meal, the mashmos of the Vilna Gaon is that it's permissible, and this is also the opinion the Chofetz Chaim says of the Rabbeinu Chananel. The issue footnote number 29 brings down an opinion from the Aruch HaShulchan as well, sheyesh b'zeh mishum tircha l'tzorachol, if you doing it for a weekday, then you're doing excessive tircha on Shabbos, which is not necessary. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, basar or dog chai, if you have raw meat or raw fish, also l'molcha b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to salt it on Shabbos, kidei shelo yasriach, if your purpose in salting it over here is that it shouldn't spoil, you want to preserve it. V'afilu b'mkom hefsid also, and if it's going to cause you financial loss if you don't salt this raw meat or this raw fish, it will spoil, you're still not allowed to do this. V'afilu rotzel l'molcho kidei l'ochlo acham l'chaso, and even if your intention is that you're salting this raw meat or raw fish right now in order to eat it after you salt it, so you're going to eat it raw, you're going to eat it chai, nevertheless it's still also in this situation. Why? Da'afil gav de'en ibu. Would be ochlim in daraisa. Even though on a daraisa level, we don't consider that there's a problem with tanning over here. We call makom also the mischazikhi, but it looks like tanning, and therefore midrabbanan they acid it. Shamelach machshir ha'ochel misakno, because the salt does prepare the food and make it ready to be eaten, and therefore it is forbidden on a darabbanan level. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say, "Avol mutar la'adiach habasar." One can rinse off the meat kidei la'achlo achar kachai in order to go and eat it afterwards in its raw state, because you just want to rinse off the blood that's on it, which is not allowed to be eaten. But the blood that's inside, if you're eating it raw, is not a problem. The ein zemikre tikkun, that is not called a tikkun in the meat itself. She'ein hatikkun beguf habasar, because you're not doing anything intrinsically to the meat itself. You're only washing off the external blood. Ela shemadicha mishum dam ba'ayin shalav. You're only washing off the blood that's on the outer part of it, and therefore that is allowed. The issue footnotes number 30 and 31 are important here. The issue footnote number 30 tells us, v'af ein b'kach mishum tiltu muktzah. There's no problem here of tiltu muktzah over here, because technically the meat can be eaten raw, and therefore it's not a problem. Nowadays, most people don't eat meat raw, so some poskim therefore suggest that it is a problem. However, other poskim say that since it is able to be eaten raw, despite the fact that many people today do not eat it raw, it is not a problem of mokza. In the issue footnote number 30 for all of these details. The issue footnote number 31 brings down that there's a difference over here between the meat, that you're allowed to wash the blood off it, and what we previously learned in Simen Shin Yotes, Siv Ches, that you're not allowed to rinse off the dirt off vegetables. That's different. That is also Mishum Borer. Back to the Mishnah Berurah. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Mikol makom nira da asur lahadiach habasar shelo nimlach kishechol yom shlishi lios b'shabbos." There is a halacha that the Mishnah Berurah is alluding to over here, that we always rinse off the meat, we salt the meat, and we rinse off the meat in order that you get extract out through the salting the blood that's inside the meat. We rinse off the meat on the outside, and then we rinse it again after the salting, is to get the blood that's on the surface, and then the blood that comes out through the salting, and we get rid of the blood in that way. Technically, the blood that's inside the meat is allowed to be eaten when you're eating the meat raw. Or, as we'll see, if you roast the meat, it's not a problem as well. The blood will come out through roasting. But the normal processing of meat isn't necessarily that you eat it raw, and it isn't necessarily that you roast it. So we, therefore, always salt the meat to draw out the blood that's inside the meat in order that we shouldn't have a problem of eating blood. Now, this can only be done within the first 72 hours after the shechita. So we always do it right away, or at least within 3 days. So the Mishnah Berurah is telling us over here, what happens if day three is Shabbos? The meat was shechted, let's say, sometime Wednesday or Thursday, and now it's going to be 72 hours before the end of Shabbos. If you don't salt it on Shabbos, you're going to have a financial loss. So the Mishnah Berurah says, even if that's the case over here, if you don't rinse off this meat that hasn't been salted before the 72 hours, then you're never going to be able to get out the blood from inside, and therefore it will never be able to be cooked. You'll be able to roast it. But since your intention over here is not to eat this meat today, which you would be allowed to wipe it off, wash it off, and since we don't normally eat this meat raw, it's clear to everybody that you're doing this to prepare it to have the meat available for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And therefore, even a non-Jewish person, you can't ask to go and rinse off the meat. She'ein kan hefsid kokach, because there isn't such a huge financial loss for a single individual over here. Im lo yidichenu, if you don't go and wash it off, she'uchalechot sli, because you can obviously eat it roasted. And this is the opinion, ken kosev amaget avram, a more machmir opinion. However, the issue footnote number 32 brings down, she'ba makom hefsid meruba, if this was a large financial loss, so then there are poskim that would say that you'd be allowed to. According to the maget avram, hitiru shvus de shvus, it would be permitted over here for a large financial loss, but according to Elia Rabbah, it would still be usur. In any event, the Mishnah Berurah continues, that was the more machmir opinion of the Magen Avraham. Well, my Rabbi Yochai Beveso, this is talking about an individual in his own house, but even the Magen Avraham would agree, Avo Bekatzav, a butcher, Hamochli Achem, he has many, many sales over here. If he doesn't rinse this animal off, he's going to lose an entire animal. That would be a huge financial loss. He could ask a non-Jewish person because of Hefzid Merubah to do this for him. Likewise, in these fattened geese over here, that while the meat from the goose would still be edible, but you'd be losing all the fat over here. You'd lose the fat over here. If you roast it, that will burn off in the roasting. So you really want to cook this to retain the fat, but now you wouldn't be able to cook it. So Gamla Mogen Avram Mutter Aydeena Yehudi Apilu Yochad Bevesos. Even the Mogen Avram would allow in this situation for a non-Jewish person to go and rinse it off for you in your own house, not only for a butcher. Vafilu Bibasa Behema Hiskimu Harbi Achronim. And he brings down a more lenient opinion. This is the name of the El Yerabah. And also the Nodav Yehuda and the Maim Mordechai and the Shagas Aryeh, they are more lenient than the Magen Avraham. The Yesh L'Hokel Odiach Aydeena Yehudi. They allow even an individual to go and have a non-Jewish person rinse it off in his house, not like the more machmir opinion, the Lokim Magen Avraham. V'ayin be'el Yerabah, u'b'shuvas Nodav Yehuda, shekasu, they further add, the Yev Shah Aydeena Yehudi, if it's impossible to have a non-Jewish person do this, mutur gam Aydei Yisrael. They would even allow a Yisrael to do this in this situation. However, but it would be much more preferable if the meat is already in some sort of utensil, that instead of rinsing it off directly, wash your hands over it, until you filled up the container, because you've washed your hands and the water dripped off from your hands onto the container with the meat, and you fill up the container that way, so that would be preferable than directly just rinsing off the meat. Now we go to Siv Vav. The Mechaber writes, Ein limloch biyachad harbi polim v'adashim. You're not allowed to go and salt at one time a large number of beans or lentils. We had spoken previously that by the radishes in yesterday's shiur, we said you have to do it one at a time, and we brought down there that when you're eating something like beans or lentils, which you eat a scoopful at a time, so then you don't have to individually salt each one. So here we're talking about a very excessive amount of beans or lentils. So you're not allowed to go and salt these beans and lentils over here, shenish bashlub kliposer, if they've already been cooked in their shell or peel. The Mishnah explains this, Sifkan Chav Beis, D'hamelicha mo'ilu lehem, because the salting over here benefits these beans or lentils, v'heve kikvisho v'ibod, and it's too much like pickling or tanning to make it allowed. The issue footnote number 34 brings down that the source for this is the Taz, Shadir Shahamelach Moel Rakech Esakoshi Shiesh Beklipos Hadashim. It somehow softens up the hard peels over here of these lentils. And he says, even lentils, Shiesh Lem Rak Klipa Pinimis, even if you've already removed the outer Klipa and it still has only a softer inner Klipa, the Kafachaim says that's also still Osir, and this is also the opinion of the Das Torah. Now we go to Siv Zayin. The Mechaber writes, Mutr lo doch pilpilin, a person is allowed to pound peppers, to grind them up, afilu harbe yachad, even a lot of them at the same time. But he must do it in the following way. V'hu shiiduchem bekata shosakin, he takes the back part of a knife, the handle of a knife, and he pounds it on with the handle of a knife, and he doesn't do it into a mortar, but he does it into a plate, ubekara. In this double shinui type of a way, the Mechaber tells us it's permissible to go and pound these peppers on Shabbos. But the converse would be to use a mortar and pestle would be forbidden to go grind peppers on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Katan Chav Gimel, V'imhu shochek pilpilin, if he's grinding peppers, ushar tavlim, or other spices, b'machteshes kidarko, with a regular mortar and pestle in the normal way that it's done, then afilu garger echad, even one single pepper to grind, would be forbidden. It would be osu midaraisa. Yesh bo isa daraisa, mishum tochin, that's the isa daraisa of grinding. The Shar HaTzion in Os Chavav brings down the reasoning behind this is because even a Chatzi Shir is Osman HaTorah. So even though you don't have a Kezayis over here, you don't have necessarily the amount that you would be Chayiv HaChatzis for, as is brought down in Dirshu footnote number 36, that the Shir to be Chayiv HaChatzis on Shabbos if you did this by accident. So the Rambam says that would be a Grogeris, a certain type of dried fig. That's the Shir to be Chayiv HaChatzis. But even a Chatzi Shir is Osman HaTorah. Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Chav Dalet tells us, Afilu harbe yachad, person is permitted to grind in this shinu dika fashion with the back part of the knife if he's doing it on a plate with a lot of them at the same time. So the Mishnah Berurah says, V'dafko mashet zorch l'leos haShabbos. It doesn't mean you can do 100 pounds of it. You just can do what you need for Shabbos. So there you don't have to be concerned that you're doing too much, but as long as it's for Shabbos usage, you're allowed to. And we said you have to do it in a kara. So the Mishnah Berurah Siv Katan Chafei explains Pirush. Avalo yoduch bekata shosakina b'machteshes. But you need this double shinui over here. You're doing it with the back of the knife, the blade of the knife, as well as you're not doing it in the mortar, you're doing it into a plate. So you need this double shinui over here. You're not allowed to go, however, and take the blade of the knife and use it in the mortar. After shino, even though you're making somewhat of a shino, but shedoch bekata shosakina, using the back of the knife, the blade of the knife, so that is a shino, b'komokom b'machteshes, if you're doing it, however, in the mortar, mechseku of the dechol, it looks too much like a weekday activity over here, and therefore you can't do it. V'huadin, and the same thing would apply, the doch bekata agabi shulchan, or b'shule kli agabi shulchan, the heavy tray shinui. It would also be acceptable if a person would take the back of the knife, and go and pound the peppers on a table. Or if you take the bottom of a kli, or b'shule kli, agabi shulchan, on the table. That would also be good because you have a double shinoi, the thing that you're pounding it with, the back of the knife, or the bottom of the kli, and you're doing it on a table, not in a mortar. The heavy tray shinoi, this is a double shinoi. Dishu footnote number 37 explains why this double shinoi should work, because normally we say that a shinoi on Shabbos is also midrabbanan, may make it knocking it down from a deraisa to the rabbanan. So he brings down over here, from the Shiboli Leket, Kishimishana Lodoch Biyodish Shosaka, when you're using the blade of the knife over here, Nachshaf Hadover Kishini Gomer, that's a real shini over here. On Yishum Kach, Mutalasus Kain Afil Chatrila, that's why when you're doing it onto the plate, it is permissible. However, the Mishnah Berurah continues and he says, Avo Bebuchna, with the pestle, the specific grinding implement, Hamiyuchedis Lechatisha, which is made specifically for grinding, Afilu Agabi Shulchan, then to use that pestle and pound it on a table, which is one shinoi, or besocha kara, or onto a plate, which is also one shinoi, rather than into the mortar, that is osir midrabban, osir. Then he brings down Kosovataz ben Zeh. The Kaz writes over here, Ein lo suma pilpilin tocha beged, one should not put peppers inside a garment and then close the garment around the peppers of a lichtosh and then grind it inside the garment, besakin, even though you're using it in a permissible way with a knife, all of, because dehu molid recha, there's a separatist over here that you're causing the aroma to go into the baggage. However, he does bring down omnon besimin tof kuf yud aleph osches in the Taz mashma de chazar mizeh, that he does change his opinion. The Taz changes his opinion. The hiskim marshal, he ultimately agrees with the opinion of the marshal. Yeshari mishum de ein mechavil zeh, since his intention isn't really to doing that, he would be allowed to. So since his intention was just to grind up the peppers, even though it's molud reach into the beged, that would be allowed. And he says ayin shom, look over there, and over there in Yishu footnote number 39, he brings down from the Shaar Tzion that even though this is a psik reisha, since kivan she iser holodas reach kal mi iser derabbanan, this is a very, very light iser, somewhat lower than a normal iser derabbanan, therefore mutu laholud reach gishenu miskavin afilu psik reisha. Therefore, since your intention isn't to go give an aroma to the beggar, your intention was just to crush the pilpulin and have them in one place, and they shouldn't go all over the place, so even though it's a psik reisha that the beggar will get an aroma, a nice fragrance to it, it is permitted in this situation. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah concludes, and he says, Kosva Achron, he brings the name of various Achronim, the Dafka Bekato de Sakina, who the Tiro Lodu Chapilpul, and it's only with the back of the blade over here that we allow you to go and crush these peppers. Avalach Tokosom Besakin Dak Dak, but to use the knife part of the knife, the cutting part of the knife, the part that's sharp, and cut it up into little pieces, that would be forbidden. That would be Osir. And this is analogous to the din that we're going to learn either in tomorrow's shir or in the next day's shir in Sif Yud Beis, Kamo Bi'erik L'Kamim B'Sif Yud Beis, U'adin L'Chol Tavlin. This is not allowed to be done with vegetables, to cut them up very, very finely. You're not allowed to do this with various spices. And so too over here, you're not allowed to do this with the pepper as well. The issue footnote number 41 explains this is not considered a shinoi when you're cutting up the peppers with the knife, because even though you may not normally grind peppers in this fashion, so the Ksos HaShulchan says, nevertheless, since it is normal to go and finally cut up things with a knife, so this is not considered a shinoi, even though for the peppers it's a shinoi, but since you normally do this for other types of food, it's not considered a shinoi in regards to the peppers and is forbidden. The issue footnote number 37 brings down, what happens if a person normally uses the back end of the knife, the blade of the knife, to go and chop stuff? So Nissen Karlit says, it's still mutter over here to do this, because this is not the normal way to do this. Even though he may normally do it, it's not a problem. He then brings down an interesting discussion about how a person may or may not, on Shabbos, crush bananas or other fruits and vegetables. So he brings down, if you're using the teeth of a fork, in other words, you're chopping it with a fork. So the Chazon Ish says, She'ein zeh ne'achshav kishinui klal. That's not a shinui at all. That's the normal way that people go and mash up a banana. And therefore, it's a chashash chiv chatos if you go and mash a banana on Shabbos with a fork. You need to go and mash up a banana for little children. So he says you should use the handle of the fork, not the fork part itself. Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's on the Igros Moshe, asks, according to the Chazon Ish, if using the fork itself is a potential issur midaraisa, so then when you're using the handle, it's a shinui ma'at only, and therefore it should be osur midarabanan, and he's left with a tzarach iyun. If you do need to go and mash something up for young children, however, so the Chazon Ish says, you should try to do this with a shinui and use, for example, the handle of a knife, of a fork, or a spoon, and not the utensil part of the knife, the fork, or the spoon. And he brings down as well, using the bottom of a spoon is considered a shinui as well. You must use the handle. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal explains that even though it's a little bit more difficult to use a spoon than it is a fork, mikol mokum kiven shashimush biyadis hakaf hu shinoi mitzuras hashimush haragil shel hakaf. But since if you're using the handle of the spoon, it's a much bigger shinoi than if you use the spoon itself, so therefore this is allowed over here in regards to tochen. However, Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says, mutul lemoch peros v'yirokos af betachtis hakaf. He says you can go and mash up a banana or other fruits like this with the spoon part of a spoon, it does consider it a shinui because you're not using a fork. With that, we conclude today's shir.